heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We will go to your calls later on in the broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember, as always, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to begin the broadcast today by noting an article that I read this week that was titled, Harris's Ties to Leading Anti-Israel Group Draws Scrutiny. And these ties on the part of Kamala Harris reminded me of former Vice President Joe Biden's address to the Million Muslim Votes Summit. This was an event hosted by Engage, which in turn is an organization founded and led by the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. And that includes Engage's current co-chairperson, attorney Karam Wahid, a former legal advisor to the Hamas-linked radical Muslim organization known as Council on American Islamic Relations, also known more popularly by the acronym CARE. Well, during his address, Biden lauds Islam as one of the great confessional faiths. And then he wishes, and I've never forgotten this, the statement is, as it were, impregnated in my mind. He wishes we taught more in our schools about what he thinks is the great Islamic faith. And then he inadvertently invoked jihad against America by quoting an ominous Sharia maxim straight from the lips of Muhammad. That maxim is this: whoever among you sees a wrong, let him change it with his hand. If he's not able, then with his tongue. If he's not able, then with his heart. Well, one presumes that Biden, a former vice president of the United States of America, knows full well that the Muslim Brotherhood, that Hamas, and that CARE intend to communicate through the use of this famous Muslim maxim what Muhammad clearly explained himself, that by the hand, the tongue, and the heart, there is something ominous being communicated. In fact, this is what Muhammad himself said: whoever strives or wages jihad against the infidel with his hand is a believer. Whoever strives or wages jihad against them with his tongue is a believer. Whoever strives or wages jihad against them with his heart is a believer. Beyond that, there is not even, said Muhammad, a mustard seed's worth of faith. All of this is to say that according to Muhammad himself, true Muslims must use force when they're in a position to use force. So if the enemy is too strong, then wage war with the tongue. And if you can't do that, strive with hatred in your heart toward those who rebel against Sharia law. Why? Because Sharia is rooted in the words of Allah and as such is unalterable. It applies to all people, in all places, at all times, no exception, period, full stop. We do well to remember that from the perspective of Sharia, Jews and Christians, as well as pagans, are considered inferior peoples. And as noted in the article that I read, Biden is not alone in his love of Islam. Running mate Kamala Harris seems enamored with Islam as well. In fact, she went out of her way to laud Islam, and most notably to laud the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Now, as a California attorney general and as a U.S. senator, Harris established a working relationship with CARE, giving them what she called her gratitude and her admiration. And CARE, as is no secret, actively supports the U.S.-designated terror group Hamas. In fact, I was reading a personal letter to CARE, allegedly written by Harris, in which she said, "Please accept my gratitude and admiration for your tireless work to promote peace, justice, and mutual understanding." For Harris to say that CARE promotes peace, justice, and mutual understanding is what is referred to in Islam as taqiyya, as religious dissimulation. Unfortunately, people in key leadership positions in the United States today, politicians from Obama to Biden to Harris, not only support organizations like CARE, but also have co-opted the same tactics for distorting truth. Who can forget Obama's celebrated Cairo University speech? A speech in which he quoted Allah's words as channeled through the Quran. Here's what he said. "The Holy Quran teaches that whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he had killed all mankind. And the Holy Quran also says whoever saves a person, it is as if he saved all mankind." And then Barack Obama went on to say Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace. And as a self-proclaimed student of history, Obama surely knew that this was taqiyya, which is, as I noted previously, religious dissimulation. He takes a text out of context and uses it as a pretext. As anyone who has read the Quran well knows, Allah in this passage is paraphrasing the God of the Jewish Talmud and is doing so to make a larger point, namely that the murder, the crucifixion, or the mutilation of Jews is warranted in that disbelief is tantamount to mischief. And as Obama, Biden, and Harris also know, the very next verse, one of the most legendary in the whole of the Quran, says, "The punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered, crucified. Their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. This shall be a disgrace for them in this world, and in the hereafter they shall have a grievous chastisement." What Obama did in Cairo is repeated again and again by Muslim organizations such as CARE. In point of fact, after the Muslim murders in Paris, murders that took place at the offices of Charlie Hebdo, Osama al-Qassam modified the words of Quran 532 and omitted Quran 533 altogether. Why? Because CARE spokespersons have mastered the art of telling the truth, but not the whole truth, all with the intention to mislead. Their goal is always the same, to conceal from disbelievers, as they call them, dogmas and practices that would otherwise be found abhorrent. Although CARE is notorious for its practice of dakia, many U.S. politicians, including Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, they have no problem aligning with a group that supports provocative tactics and terrorism that flow from these very tactics. While there's a glimmer of optimism in all of this, it is the hopeful possibility that there may be millions of devout Muslims who could not so much as imagine trotting the path of dakia. In concert with multitudes of non-Muslims, devotees likely regard the religious dissimulation tactics of Biden, Harris, and CARE to be cringeworthy at best. Well, we are coming up to a station break. After the break, we'll go directly to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. So please don't touch that dial.
Americans must never take for granted the blessings of liberty that we experience in the United States of America. With increasingly militant attacks and restrictions on our liberties as Christians, the penalties for ignorance and inaction in this arena will only grow more severe. Simply put, Christians must be informed and involved in the political process, which is why Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft by Francis Beckwith. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go directly to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go first to David in Tacoma, Washington, listening on the web. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Thank you. Just had a question, Hank. The other night I was watching Dr. Charles Stanley on a message that he had. And he was talking about prayer, and he gave his personal opinion about prayer and how, you know, we should pray. He said if a person doesn't, you know, necessarily pray on the knees, then it's a form of pride. You know, again, he said it was his personal opinion, but I wanted to ask you that because many times whenever I'm reading, you know, my Bible and whatnot, I may be out in my yard sitting, and I usually sit or either stand when I pray. And when he had said that, you know, it really kind of, you know, made me think, you know, about praying or either standing or sitting. And I just wanted to see what your take was on that.
Yeah, I think what's important is to go back to the practice of the early church. This is when the church was young, and oftentimes we see in the practices of the early church what is passed down from Jesus to the apostles, from the apostles to the apostolic fathers, from the apostolic fathers to the apologists, and then to the pre- and post-Nicene fathers, and eventually to every Eucharistic assembly throughout the land. And when you look at the practices of the early church, you'll see various poses. You'll see various bodily positions. But one thing that always comes through to me in looking at the practice of the early church is that when the body is collected, there's a composure of mind and there's an attention that becomes far more natural, an attention that is worthy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I was thinking, as I was just speaking now, about a situation that I had when I was in Tonga. I was asked to speak on the National Day of Prayer, which coincided with the birthday of the King of Tonga. And I remember grabbing the microphone, as I normally do when I was introduced and I got up to speak, and I started walking. And at one point, there was an audible gasp from the gathered crowd, you know, the princes and the ladies-in-waiting and the clergy and so forth. There was an audible gasp. I didn't know why. Later on, I found out I had turned my back on the king. And you see there that there is a reverence that ought to be shown for a monarch. And, of course, they take their marching orders from Britain, and so they try to follow the same protocols. Well, if we treat a monarch, an earthly monarch, with a tremendous amount of dignity, how much more should we treat the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings with great dignity? So in various places when we are in church, we don't cross our legs. Now, the reason, again, is we wouldn't do that if we were in the presence of a monarch. We often prostrate ourselves or we kneel. But by the same token, you can read of early church Christians who are praying as they walk. In fact, I myself have adapted that as my manner of prayer. Virtually every single day, I pray and walk. And I don't know why I do that, except that oftentimes, given my own composition, when I don't do that, my mind is apt to wander. When I walk, I can get sort of in a position of complete attention to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether I'm walking outside or whether I'm walking on a treadmill. So my prayer closet, as it were, is a prayer closet of walking. But everyone has their own way of reverencing the Lord. And certainly within the context of the liturgy, there are times that you pray standing up, but there are also times, particularly when the Eucharist is being sanctified, that you actually pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to come down and to change the elements into the real presence of Christ. So, you know, I think the principle here is that prayer is raising up the heart to God. And if we do that, we recognize in tandem that we're body-soul unities, and that in raising up the heart to God, we want to make sure that we have control over our bodily functions, because, again, the physical and the metaphysical in humanity are inextricably woven together. I wrote a book about this called The Prayer of Jesus, which is available on the web at equip.org.
Yeah, you know, actually, I have that, and I love that book. And just like as you said, you know, your prayer closet has become, you know, your walking. And that's how I feel. I feel, because when a lot of times when I'm kneeling, my mind is wondering about everything, but usually when I come out in my yard and I pray and I'm reading and I'm sitting in my yard, it just seems like I can just focus more on the Lord and what I'm praying about, like you, walking or sitting, than when I'm on my knees. It's, again, my mind is just scattered. But when I'm, you know, in the other positions, it seems like I'm very, you know, more focused on, you know, that time with the Lord.
And I think that's the most important thing, David. I think the very thing that you said is the most important. Find out how you can be most focused on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the maxim is that if the body doesn't labor in prayer, then prayer will remain fruitless. Again, we're body-soul unities. But I am so happy that you brought up this question at this time. It is a very worthy question and something that we all must consider as we engage in the incredible privilege of communicating with the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Let me go to Marcus in Wake Forest, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Marcus.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you.
Okay, I'm doing great. I have a question for you. Lately, I've been listening to your radio station a lot, and I like it, but I've been listening to other stations too, and I know when it gets close to politics, it's a touchy subject. And I've been hearing a lot about Barack Obama, as well as the views towards Israel and things of that nature. But also, I have seen the current president and his views towards minorities and things of that nature. But I don't hear a lot of pastors go into detail and discuss what is God's views toward that. And it seems like it's almost swaying to, okay, well, pick this president versus picking Biden and things of that nature. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, Marcus. But here's the thing. What I was communicating in the opening of the broadcast today has to do with Islam. And there are all too many politicians today that have developed an unhealthy relationship with organizations linked to terrorist groups. And they are also taking the Quran out of context, and that's what I was pointing out. Now, that is done not only by Democratic politicians, but also by Republican politicians. And in my book, Muslim, and this is foremost in my mind, I'm pointing out what has happened in America with respect to politicians who have a very unhealthy view of Islam, laud it as something that ought to be taught to our children, and that's something that needs to be pointed out, whether it's a politician on one side of the aisle or a politician on the other. In terms of race, I've talked about that over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The biblical concept is one race, the human race. And so if we treat people inordinately, people who are created as icons of God, we have missed the mark. Because at the feet of the cross, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. If you are in Christ, You are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise, and therefore every person has to be treated with utmost dignity as an icon of God who is destined to be made in the likeness of God. Thank you for bringing up the subject. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apology to the callers I didn't get to today. Hopefully you'll call me on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The alarming images of rioting, looting, and rampant destruction from Portland, Seattle, Chicago, and Minneapolis on our TV screens are recurring reminders of the truth that vices advance in the public sphere only as virtues retreat. They also remind us that human flourishing is not possible when chaos reigns, and why those who fail to vote the virtues of our faith should brace themselves for the disastrous alternatives. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith will equip you to exercise your Christian influence by voting the virtues of your faith. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.